still not sure if God exists? Let's see if we can change your mind today on the Christian Wake Up Call.
Calling all sinners, it's time for your Christian Wake Up Call. Get a dose of biblical Christian truth for today's tough challenges. And now, here's your host, John Davison.
Thank you for joining us today, and welcome back to all our previous listeners. We hope you're having a great day. I hope everyone's having a good Friday. I'm looking forward to being in service tonight to worship our Lord on this day of his great sacrifice 2,000 plus years ago. So today on the Christian Wake Up Call, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk a little bit about apologetics. In this particular case, rationalization that God does exist. Since this is a key starting point whenever trying to convince anybody of God and the Christian beliefs. So, as we discuss this today, we're going to talk about some internal arguments, some external arguments, and we're going to finish up with the ontological argument. So stay right tuned. We'll be right back. So, first we're going to begin with today internal arguments. Basically, internal arguments are things that are internal to ourselves. The primary ones would be morality and reasoning. Without these, without God, these should not be able to exist in the form that they do today. So first, we'll start talking about the moral argument. The moral argument is based off the fact that we have objective morals in the world, things that everybody agrees is wrong, no matter what the culture, what the time period, things like we know rape is wrong, we know murder is wrong. These are not relative, and in a naturally formed world, they would not be objective, they'd still be relative to the individual or the culture or the upbringing. But because these values are ingrained in us, the only way that could be would be through God. Otherwise, there will always be subjective. There would be no moral authority to make him an objective moral. And that's the basics of the argument. The fact that we have objective morals means we have to have an objective standard to bring them from. And the only objective standard that we could have for this would be God. Or we can take this from the opposite direction. And because we know there are objective morals, that proves that God exists. Because otherwise we couldn't have objective morals. And we can know that most of society considered certain morals objective. If we look back at the Declaration of Independence, where it asserts self-evident truth, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. These are all confirmation that objective morals exist. So, if objective morals exist, then God must exist. Otherwise, there are no objective morals. They all become relative based off of each individual and their personal standard. So that would be the moral argument. Next, we'll talk about the argument for reason. And that basically shows or states that the fact that we can think and reason shows that God must exist. Because if we were formed naturally, we would just be a reaction of chemicals. We would not be capable of individual reasoning and thought. C.S. Lewis observes such. Instances show that the fact, which is in one respect the most obvious and primary fact, and through which alone you have access to all the other facts, may be precisely the one that is mostly forgotten. Forgotten not because it is so remote or abstruse, but because it is so near and so obvious. Basically, what I think Lewis is saying here is, God gave us the gift to think and reason. And when we're looking for proof that God exists, we ignore that gift as we approach different rationales and reasons to support his existence. Yet, just the fact that we can reason is evidence of God's existence. And while some like to put their favor in evolution in millions or billions of years of random chance and chemical reactions producing what normally would be chaos, but somehow in our society or our case would create rational reasoning, I'm not believing that. How can we trust our thoughts or beliefs or reasoning with something that is completely chaotic? They just don't do anything. Natural formation tends to follow the path of deterioration, not creation. Creation always seems to require effort or energy outside the norm, not through natural process. So the fact that we're able to reason is, again, evidence of God's existence in contradiction to natural evolution. And that covers our internal arguments. Next, we'll be moving on to the external arguments. So stay right there. We'll be right back after a quick break. Welcome back. We just went over the internal evidence or arguments for God's existence. And now we're going to start discussing some of the external arguments. There are two of them that I plan on going over today. The teleological argument and the calm cosmological argument. First, we'll start with the theological argument. Basically, this is the argument that the fact that we have structure and organization in the world today through creation, that it indicates a designer. You know, the fact that math works, that the universe is perfectly balanced to support life, or cosmic fine-tuning, the existence of the atoms, DNA, the structure of DNA, all prove that they couldn't have occurred just through natural random chance. They required a designer. Kind of like a building couldn't exist on its own, so therefore by looking at the building, you know that there was a designer or builder for that. That it wasn't just random chance that created these. And this is part of why it's so important to make a billions and billions of year old universe, because what they are relying on are statistically impossible things to happen, but because of all the time and period available, statistically the impossible could happen. Now, while mathematically or statistically this could be a possibility, chances of a building just randomly creating itself in this structure, we know that's never going to happen through natural means whatsoever, even though there is a possibility that that atom structure can exist somewhere in the universe if the universe is big enough. We know it's not going to happen unless there were intelligent hands that also put it together there. And this example was I primarily gave because not only are they asking for this level of statistical impossibility, it's even higher. The natural creation of some of the simple proteins that we need, let alone all of them, could have naturally formed in the span of time in the universe here on Earth, let alone constructing a whole entire cell functioning with DNA, which basically has more data in it than probably the Library of Congress. Again, proof that there had to be a creator. Software books don't write themselves, nor does DNA. So that's the basic tenet of the theological argument. So next we're going to talk about the Kalam cosmological argument. This is one of my personal favorites. William Lane Craig, one of today's more well-known apologists, uses this one because it's really simple and really cuts right to the point for me. Like I said, it's simple, it's direct, it's easy to grasp, and it's hard to argue with. So basically, his argument goes like this. Whatever begins to exist has a cause to exist. Things don't just happen without some sort of cause. And we know the universe began to exist. Therefore, the universe has a cause of its existence. And his argument in this case is that would be God. How else could it exist? If nothing existed, something intentionally had to make an existence, and it had to be outside of matter, time, and space. These are all characteristics of a God, or God. Obviously, we believe it's God, but most of these arguments aren't intent on proving the Christian God that we're primarily here to serve, but just the existence of God, a God, to lead to further discussion with others. And that is the simple but effective Kalam cosmological argument. So now we're going to take a break, and then we will come right back to discuss the ontological argument. So stick around. We'll be back in a moment. All right, welcome back. We just got finished talking about external arguments or external evidence for God's existence. Now we're going to dig into the ontological argument. This one might take the whole segment because it's a little bit confusing and a little bit deep. But the basic premise is that God must exist because it's not impossible that God exists. That seems kind of weird, but basically the premise is God, because of the nature of the universe, either God is an absolute must or must be completely impossible. Because it's not completely impossible that God exists, God must exist. And this goes into the thought that certain things are necessary or contingent for the universe to exist and function as is. And these would be necessities. These are always going to be true. The universe exists would be a truth, whereas there's a contingent truth. Like, I read this book last Friday. Well, the fact that that is true doesn't necessarily make it necessary for the universe. It's contingent upon other things that have occurred in the universe. So those things aren't necessarily required. So when we look at the scope of the universe, we know that God existed before all things existed and must be perfect in all ways, in all things, perfect in love, perfect in justice, perfect in mercy, all things. He's the single most perfect thing in existence. So, because of that, God has to exist, or it has to be absolutely impossible for him to exist. Otherwise, if it's not impossible for him to exist, he must exist because he's a necessity. Therefore, in order for everything to exist, God must exist. So hopefully that makes sense to you. If you're confused or unsure, can't say that I blame you. It took me a few times reading through it to get a grasp of it. And believe it or not, this concept was developed by a monk in the 11th century named Aslam of Canterbury. So that summarizes the ontological argument. So today we covered 5 different arguments. 2 internal ones, which are, again, based on our internal beings, the fact that we have morals, the fact that we have reason, that the natural sciences can't explain or defend that, not in at least a definitive way. We have the external arguments, the complexities of the universe. Can only have been created by God because they're too complex to have been created otherwise. Or the fact that the universe even existed because there is the necessity of a initializing intentional creator as opposed to just natural occurrence from nothingness. Final one, the ontological argument is probably the most interesting and confusing. It's not one that I would probably personally go out in the streets and use, but the fact that God must exist because we can't prove that God doesn't exist, which makes him a necessity to the existence of the universe. So hopefully you learned something today. Hopefully you have confidence it's not illogical or irrational to believe in God and to believe in Jesus, that there is rational explanation and there's additional, you know, scientific ways of proving as well. But that's a whole other discussion. So we're going to take a break right here and then we'll close out when we come right back. So those are the arguments for the existence of God. I hope you learned something today and I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to thank you for sticking around with us till the end, and we look forward to seeing you again next week when we will be talking about whether or not Jesus was actually God. So thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to like, share, review, and subscribe. And remember always, live for your Lord.